Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Well, it hasn't exactly been great gardening weather, has it, Mary Staunton? But this weekend looks promising.
Well, we have to have something to look forward to. I heard a great expression the other day, lovely day, the weekend. So that means maybe you just got one day out of the whole weekend that was actually sunny and nice. That's the day to get out, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to get out and do a bit.
What should we be doing at this point then, presuming that the weather does allow us to get out into the garden this weekend?
You just listen, you have to. There's a lot to be done. Even though we think it's been raining a lot, the ground is dry. Mm. Now, I know that sounds, but you put a spade into the ground and you might get a little bit of moisture at the top, but really it's quite dry underneath. Deadheading is probably, and it's the most boring thing to talk about, but deadheading flowers will bring on new blooms. So if you keep up on that, especially with roses, dahlias and that sort of thing, it'll kind of give you a lot of colour into the later autumn. So we sometimes get a good back end to the summer. I'm hoping that we get a few weeks before the kids go back to school that we can actually enjoy, you know.
Talk to me about sowing crops for winter harvesting. What would be good to go into the ground right now?
So you can put in things like radish, mizuna, lettuce, you know, all sorts of different salads and stuff like that. And then you're getting ready to put in the, what you would, I suppose, traditionally call winter crops. You're putting in the spring cabbage, you're putting in garlic, onion sets, that's sort of thing. So there's a lot to do. But say you haven't even
opened... there's a lot of salad leaves that you're saying that I can plant
and expect to be
chowing down on in 7 or 8 weeks' time?
Without a doubt, quicker. You know, so you can have the little small salad leaves and get them in now. Sow the seed and you can sow directly into the ground. It's warm enough. As long as you keep them watered. See, this is the other thing. You can't go away now on 2 weeks' holidays and leave your salad leaves kind of there wilting away. So you have to be on it with the watering. But absolutely, you can have loads of salad leaves little radishes, stuff like that. So you can get them in the ground now. And that's perfect for... The idea is not to leave any kind of bare ground. That's the idea, just to keep things moving along and keep sowing intermittently.
51551 for your questions to Mary while I throw a few more of at her. But let's just get those questions coming in on the text line, folks. It's also a good time, speaking of seeds, to be collecting your own seeds,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exact. Great time. So I would have Honesty. I don't know if you... Luna. It's kind of like a lovely kind of paper-looking seed head at the minute. And if you collect all them and just sow them randomly around the garden, or you can put them into little seed trays, they will give you the most beautiful little white flowers. So they're just a lovely spring kind of white, fresh flower. So seeds like that. Any seeds that you are collecting, you need to collect them in paper bags. And traditionally, you just put the paper bag over the top of the seed head, tie with a piece of string, cut the stem, and then just turn it upside down and shake the seeds into the bag. Don't collect them in plastic bags because they sweat, they perspire. And then put them into label, obviously, because that's the other thing that we forget to do, label them.
I'll know it's the paper bag that I've not written anything on.
Exactly, that's the one. Put it into the tin box.
But the paper bag is crucial there because presumably it does its own job in absorbing some of that moisture and wicking it off.
Yeah, and it also kind of it allows things to breathe, you know, so you're not sweating out the seeds in a plastic bag. The biggest problem then is how do you store them? In a cool place, but put them in a tin box. So now tin box that you have lying around, maybe a box of biscuits that you got and you've managed to eat them all with a cup of tea over the last few weeks. Use that for your seeds and then just put them into a nice cool place. And then in the spring, you can take them out and start sowing them.
Remove heat, remove moisture. Can we go back? Just let's double back, please, to planting now in order to get a little bit of colour come October.
So at the moment, you have things like dahlias. I've just mentioned that, but they're still available. There's a lot available in the garden centres. But begonias for me, in terms of colour and a big whack of colour in a container or a window box, are the go-to plant. They're begonia tubers. You buy them in the kind of spring when they come in, or you can buy them now in the garden centres and you put them into your window boxes and they go on and on and on. And up until the first frost, they give you the most beautiful colours. Gorgeous.
And if you are cutting your lawns, and personally I don't know why you'd be wasting your time, but if you are out there cutting your lawns, is this the point in the year that you should be raising the height of the lawnmower blades a little bit?
For me it is, and I'll tell you why. I don't like skinning the lawn because, as I as I was saying, we're getting rain, but we're not getting the amount that's sticking into the ground and going through the ground. So there's a lot of yellow grass out there, isn't there? You've seen it. And then people are coming out and skinning it with even a tighter cut on the lawnmower. So raise the blades, give it a chance to green up. And I always cut the grass in different directions. So this week I might do it. I know this is very boring to you, Philip, but one week I do it in one direction and the next week I do it in the other. And that thickens up the sward. And it creates a kind of a nicer, thicker lawn, if you like.
It's not boring to me at all, Mary. I'm just reading other people's questions and not listening to you. So let me bring you some of those questions. How do I get rid of large areas of Mumbrisia? I know it's an invasive one, but it's very colourful at this time of year.
Yeah, I think what happens is it gets too big for its boots and it starts to flop over and just it looks untidy. But you can hoop it, but you have to dig them up. You know, you dig them up, but you have to get the whole corm out. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking it out, you dig the whole lot. And then there'll be loads of little baby cornels hanging off it. So you have to get all of them as well because they'll be the new flowers for next year. So, yeah, dig it
so
up.
So no, not just cutting back, get out the shovel.
Yeah.
Can you ask, Mary, please, I have a shaded part of the garden, what can I put in it for this winter?
So you want to put something in for shaded. So lovely cyclamen, coom, heterofolium or repandum will give you a swathe of colour, and this is kind of ground cover, give you a swathe of colour from now into next April. So they're little tiny little cyclamen and they're perennial and they just come up in and around under trees, deciduous trees, really gorgeous. But if you have a shaded wall, there's nothing nicer than maybe a climbing hydrangea, which would be lovely. It's a bit like watching a kettle boil with climbing hydrangea. They start off and you think, God, this is lovely. It takes ages for them to really get going. But when they get going, they clothe a whole wall in a shaded area. They won't flower hugely in a dark shade, but they will flower. And they're just a lovely way of covering an out-shaded wall.
Fintan has been in touch. He says, I planted a dwarf lilac tree last year on my small front garden. I need to cut it back and shape it as it's growing a bit bigger than expected. When should
you
be doing
that? You're a
bit
late now. So usually it's straight after flowering. So once it's given the flowers, then you cut it back. Because any growth it makes from then, it flowers on next year. So you're a little bit late. So just if you have to cut a bit back, just cut a few of the stems back. So there will be some flowers on the other ones.
Yeah.
And then then do it after.
Frank asks, could you please recommend fruit trees to espalier on a wall? My COVID project is finally nearing completion. The wall faces south-southeast, which has
lovely
to be good. Yeah. It is 1.5 metres high and 20 metres long. A good apricot and even a peach variety would be great. But Mary, he will take your guidance.
Yeah, I mean, it want to be a very sheltered wall for apricots or peaches. You might be better off with conference pear, something like that. If you're going for an apple, you can have one that's called a family tree. So it can be espaliered on a wall. A family tree which would have maybe 3 or 4 varieties grafted onto it. So there'd be a nice bit of cross-pollination.
Oh, that's very clever.
Yeah, very nice. So you get maybe 3 or 4 different varieties of apple on one tree. Okay. So that could be a nice one.
Indoor plants. I'm just wondering what Mary would recommend in terms of plants for a bathroom. I'm not very green-fingered, but would love to have lots of plants in the space, preferably ones that are hardy enough and don't need a huge amount of maintenance. Are succulents good in bathrooms?
They're not bad. Yeah, succulents are good in bathrooms. Orchids are good in bathrooms. As long as they're not getting, the orchids like kind of a nice bit of light, but not full light. So you'd have to have a window of some description in your bathroom.
But the condensation suits them, does it?
Yeah, it does. When you think of where they really grow well is in the likes of Florida, where it's nice and warm, and then you get that lovely bit of rain coming in at 3 o'clock, pours through them, and then it's gone, evaporates off. So it's that kind of nice kind of moist, but then it gets drier kind of atmosphere. You can go for something like a Sansevieria, which is, there's many different types, but there's elongated leaves, nice and tall. So something like that, slim sort of plant. There isn't much room in a bathroom. Ferns, you could have Boston fern or maidenhair-haired fern in bathrooms are usually kind of good ones.
Yeah. I love to bake. I'm wondering if Marie could have it in, suggest something for edible flowers that I could possibly plant. I'd love to be able to harvest them myself to use in cake decoration. Any information greatly appreciated.
Okay, so violas, little tiny. They're like pansies, but the smaller little version. A lot of people use them. They sugar them, but they're excellent as little for tops of cakes or anything like that. Nasturtiums are a little bit big. Yeah, I would go little violas because they're plentiful and there's so many different colours, so they're ideal for cake decoration.
So why do you say the nasturtiums are big? I mean, I know that they run rampant once they get going, the nasturtiums, but they're very colourful.
Oh, they're beautiful. So you want to have a big cake because they're quite big flowers. Aren't they? So you'd want to have a biggish cake.
You
to
could just have
show
one.
Them off. Yeah.
Weed control. I have a weed in my flower bed that looks like pine trees or little soft Christmas trees. It has my heart broke. It takes over everything. Is there anything that I can do to keep it from returning?
Horsetail, I think she might be referring to. They look like little.
Right.
Little. Yeah. They're Jurassic weed, unfortunately. Mare's tail, a Jurassic weed.
So does that mean they've been around since the Jurassic
they've
era?
They've been around so long that they're impossible to kill. So you just have to keep pulling them up. And yeah, everywhere you see them, just pull them up. Nothing works on them. Just like to tell you that. Nothing.
Only elbow grease.
Elbow grease, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Mari, thank you very much.
Very
as always, have a good weekend
you
out
too,
and about.
You too.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.